Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Serge Shcherbatskoy, and Serge is the owner of Brio.
Cafe Brio and Brio Breadworks.
Now, Serge, you used to have a restaurant and you were a chef. Where was that at?
That was in Covelo, which is about 3.5 hours south of here in the mountains.
Was that a very big restaurant?
No, it was teeny.
Teeny? Did you bake your own bread in the restaurant?
No.
No. Well, what drew you to making bread?
Well, it was the market up here. I moved up here people were just asking for it. Uh-huh. And I've always been a cook, so I thought, well, I could figure out how to do this. I never thought of myself as a baker. In fact, when people used to say, oh, make some cakes or pies, I was like, oh, no, I don't bake. Uh-huh. You know, I like to make, you know, cassoulet and barbecue some chicken and make a great salad, but never thought of myself as a baker. And I was standing in line at Wildberries, actually, and two people were complaining loudly about the bread. And this little light went off in my head. I said, oh, well, I could probably figure out how to do that, uh-huh. You know, a demand. And I thought, well, who makes the best bread? Well, it's Acme in the San Francisco Bay Area, Acme Baking. And I just cold called them, and I got through to one of the owners, and he was really pleasant about it. He said, well, come on down. I'll show you around. Uh-huh. So I went down there, and he showed me around, and then he told me I could come back and spend the whole night there, watch the whole night shift. And he also turned me on to his consulting firm, who he has the highest regard for, and they actually helped me a tremendous amount. It was just one green light after another. It's like, you know, every time you came to a door, it would just open. Uh-huh. You know, the financing fell into place really easily. It was like it was supposed to happen.
And did they share their recipes with you, or how did you develop
them? Not really, but bread is, bread recipes are really simple. It's not the recipe, it's the technique. You know, it's how you do what you do. There's a lot of different steps, and you have to do everyone right.
And what sort of equipment did you start with?
Well, what we have now. Uh-huh. I mean, I worked very closely with a consulting firm that runs a school and teaches people how to use the equipment, and they also sell the same equipment. And they're very good at sizing everything, so to make sure that your mixer is sized appropriately for your oven, which is sized appropriately for all the, so all the equipment sort of matches in terms of, you know, volume per hour. Uh-huh. And they set us up.
And then when you started out, how big were you when you started?
There was 4 employees and my wife and myself. And that was it. Yeah, we had 2 racks, 1 in Wildberries, 1 in the co-op.
What was the average day like in terms of bread making? Because I'm picturing this is something that happens in the evening when we're all asleep.
Uh-huh. Well, that's part of the technology, really, is we use a retarder. So basically, we do what you would normally do in the night much earlier in the day, and then everything goes into a retarder, which is basically a walk-in, you know, a big walk-in refrigerator. And the bread just kind of slows down. It actually develops more flavor. And then you come in early in the morning. So your actual work is determined by your deliveries going out. So the truck has to leave at a certain time. Well, then the bread has to come out of the oven by a certain time. You work backwards. Well, when do I have to start baking? Uh-huh. You know, to get this much bread through. And now we're so much bigger. But at the beginning, we didn't have to start baking till about, you know, I think the baker would come in at 3 in the morning or something.
Well, that seems awfully early to me.
Well, that is baking, yeah.
Okay.
But most of the production was done, you know, the morning before.
And how many loaves of bread did you start out with?
I think our break even was like 350 a day or something like that. And that's what we shot for, yeah. Uh-huh.
And then did you just start at Wildberries and then kind of...
Wildberries and the co-op. We made these beautiful wooden racks that you still see in the stores. That's really our only advertising is the racks. Uh-huh. It was definitely what people were waiting for. And yeah, it was my hunch because just from the... I mean, I would talk to people, you know, we were trying to get the financing. I would go into banks and, you know, loan... people that, you know, manage loans and stuff, and I would just present my idea and they would say, oh, that's very interesting, but if I would make a loaf of bread and bring it in with me, you know, they would go, oh yeah, let's talk. Uh-huh. You know, and I had rigged up the oven at our home so you could bake in it, because a bread baking oven is very different from a home oven. partly because it holds the steam in, so there's no venting. So I had to plug up all the vents, which is, of course, very dangerous on a gas oven, and seal off the door with towels. And then I had a little dripper that would go into some stones on the bottom of the oven and drop water in to make steam. And I had tiles on the, you know, to create.
I mean, I've like baked bread, and I know that there are techniques of trying to achieve.
So
that.
It basically take me all day to remake the oven. And bake, you know, 6 loaves of bread, and then clean up the kitchen so, you know, someone else could be in there. And but I would take one of these loaves of bread with me. And once I was getting out of my car and going across the street, and this woman stopped her car and leaned up and said, "Where'd you get that?" She wanted to buy it from me right there. You know, I said, "No. I'm taking this into the bank." So, yeah.
Taking your bread to
the market
bank.
Was really obvious. I mean, this is a very sophisticated town. And area, not just Arcata, but the whole area. A lot of people, you know, people who live here have been to Vienna or Rio de Janeiro or somewhere, and they know what's out there in the world. It's not like a little backwater. And so everybody has experienced good bread, and they were just saying, well, why don't we have any here?
And how did you spread from, I mean, you started out at Wildberries and Co-op, but now you're all over Humboldt County. And so did you just kind of do that slowly, kind of ease into other markets?
Yeah, one of the pieces of advice I got from the people at Acme Bread was to be market driven, to always have more demand than you have supply, because then you can just control your business, you can drive it, you know, rather than trying to chase something. So that's the way it's always been. I mean, you know, people always would want us to be in their store, and we'd say, well, not yet, maybe in a few months, you know, and they would hire another person and figure out another shift. And,
Yeah, right. The growth thing, you can grow too fast. And
And we have. I mean, we've actually grown a couple of times where we would put more people on and make kind of a big leap and actually discover that our profit margin was less than before when we were making less bread. And we've done that a couple of times now. It's almost familiar, you know, and you have to kind of claw your way back to that margin.
Now, when did you make a decision to expand to Cafe Brio?
Well, we've been here 2.5 years, right? So about 4 years ago, I suppose. Yeah.
It's quite a change from the brick and muffler shop
different.
That it used to be.
From the muffler shop. Yeah,
I remember that.
Oh, yeah. No. You can make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. It just takes a lot of money and time.
Well, I have to say, it's kind of interesting to me to see Cafe Brio. I mean, I see it every Saturday during the summer at the farmer's market. It is hopping down here. Did you really expect to have that much street traffic?
Well, I mean, it was the street traffic that made it possible. So I was thinking about the idea for a while, and what made it possible was getting this location, because I looked at other locations and it's, you know, they just didn't work, and this is the obvious spot for something like this. And once I got that available, they kind of pushed me into the ring.
Is it important to you to use local products in the foods that you make at Cafe Brio?
Oh yeah, that's our whole philosophy, absolutely.
And why is that important to you?
Well, I think partly for all the usual reasons. I mean, it makes more sense ecologically in terms of, you know, impact on the environment, supporting the community, you know, being part of a... But for me, it's also just about quality. It's a much higher quality available. The less distance food travels, the higher the quality you can buy. I mean, you cannot buy a good peach at a Safeway store. You just can't.
Yeah.
They can't sell them because they have to be picked that morning. And Safeway peaches have to be picked 4 days or 5 days or 6 days earlier. And or much more, I don't know, you know. So it's a lot about quality too. I mean, I would say, you know, before, our commitment to local is actually our commitment to quality. I mean, what we basically try to do is to make the highest quality possible product and use traditional and original and authentic ingredients. And it's very hard to do, because the reason nobody does it anymore is because it's too expensive, and you have to charge too much for it. So then we have to figure out all kinds of ways. I mean, the bakery format is better, because in a bakery you make stuff and then people come and buy it, rather than in the restaurant people come and tell you what you want and then you make it for them. You know, so you have a little more control there. But you know, now we have a restaurant too, so you have to figure out ways to like make it possible to use such expensive ingredients and still have a reasonably priced menu.
This is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking to Serge Shcherbatskoy with Cafe Brio and the Brio Breadworks.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, do I?
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU and KHSR for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.